You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
We saw world shares hitting five-month highs today, but European shares and the dollar faltered a little. That didn't stop the rand from weakening another 1.5% almost today. CLC defaulting on repayments on one of its bonds. Cash build to buy Pepkor's building company. Pick and Pay warning of a 50% earnings drop. And you can add to the 8.5 billion in projects that have been put on ice by Brewers, Consols, 1.5 billion plant upgrade. So take that to 10 billion rand and counting now, thanks to the teetotalitarians. Lots to talk about with Nessa Nair, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sasfin Wealth, and Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist and Advisory Partner at Citadel. Martin, I'm going to ask you to kick us off. Even though this is a market segment, it's all about the macroeconomic environment in South Africa and indeed in the world at the moment. What do you make of the latest news that Consol is placing its plant upgrade out on the East Rand on ice?
Yes, good evening, Michael. I think, this is actually a very good question. If you think about Consol, it's only one of many local and also global companies that's relooking the cost base. And that should be a warning sign to investors because the market's been running away from the economic fundamentals purely on this amount of stimulation that's been provided by all central banks, including our own. But the reality is that the pain is still in the pipeline. The economic adjustment's been so quick that we will only see the real impact on companies in months to come. So Consol, as an example, is one where we think that, there's definitely not going to be a V-shaped recovery. As more and more companies are doing similar kind of cost-cutting, we are going to need to prepare for a very slow and long recovery with some very negative implications for the job market altogether.
And that is the bottom line for companies, Nesson, to bring you in here, that don't just happen to be listed here and have most of their earnings offshore. Those companies that are listed here have the bulk of their earnings here. You've got to be concerned about the outlook for this economy, which just seems to be going from awful to terrible to expletive. I can't actually say these things on Drive Time Radio. I mean, it's getting to that point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's, if you look at the level of disinvestment or cancelled capex that's going on, lots of businesses are conserving cash because the concern is that, as long as the lockdown continues and the restrictions are in place, cash preservation seems to be the only thing that's going to guarantee some kind of survival. Of course, businesses are also looking at what revenues they're making in this environment, and that's not looking healthy at all. I mean, we can go through the company results later on, but the truth is that corporates will preserve cash because their purpose is really to ensure there's a return on capital. And right now, certainly in the corporate space, that is not being seen. So until there's some clarity as to how the economy opens and, what the extent of the damage that the COVID-19 lockdown has done, I think you'll find lots of companies coming out and just cancelling projects and holding back on any kind of capex in the near term.
And you see the extent of that damage in what Consol has been saying, 8 million rand a day to keep those furnaces going, and the number placed on lost revenue during the first ban on alcohol sales at 1.5 billion. And these numbers just ratchet up by the day. And the problem is the capacity utilization in ICUs around the country doesn't justify the extent of the lockdown so far. Very difficult position that government does find itself in, but there must be a better way that doesn't sacrifice industry on this altar of trying to give our health sector some more breathing room to deal with COVID-19. Nesson, on the market though, all rooms see facing, if I look across my screen, very little red, gold approaching rapidly that magical mark of $2,000 an ounce, but all sectors, even property, up 1% on the day. What's driving sentiment?
Yeah, I think it's I think there were bargain hunters out there today, Michael. I mean, after yesterday's bloodbath, you know, in the market with the property, financial shares, the banks in particular, so heavily sold down. I mean, there was inevitably going to be a mild pullback today, and I think that's what you're seeing, really. Of course, you know, on the industrial side, we had a strong market in the U.S. Yesterday, and I think that provided, I think, a backdrop, certainly for some of the tech shares like Naspers to hold out. But the truth is that we're still very much stuck in this 55,000 market. We've been here now for almost 6 weeks, 55, 56,000. You know, we had a big sell-off, we had a massive recovery, and we looked like we could potentially go a lot higher than where we are right now, but we've just stuck here. And of course, you know, in the last 3 or 4 days, we've seen the Rand weaken substantially as well. So I'm just wondering, you know, whether or not the stock market is setting itself up for a potentially another mini correction to the downside.
Over a 12-month period, we are still looking at the performance, call it flat. We're down 0.79%. So I think that certainly puts things into perspective. Over 3 years, we're down 0.2%. Over 5 years, Martin, to bring you in here, 5.7%. No wonder investors looking at their retirement funds are getting really itchy and tetchy and asking some serious questions around Regulation 28 and should we be hedging? What should we be doing? What advice would you have for investors at a time like this, particularly around gold? We've seen, if you didn't really have gold in your portfolio, maybe Naspers and Prosus, you didn't do much, and maybe the PGMs. Has gold got much more to run from here? It's approaching $1,995 an ounce as we talk. What's your view on gold?
Yes, I think gold should be definitely part of a diversified portfolio. But just like anything else, you won't put, you know, 25, 30 or 40% of your portfolio in gold on its own. So I think advice to investors at this point in time is definitely not making the wrong decision at the wrong time. You know, we're in very volatile markets, so stick to a proper plan. If you look at the yield space in SA, I think there is a lot of potential still. Yields are coming down globally, but our real yields are still much more attractive compared to the rest of the world, especially if you access that to like a retirement product where you don't pay tax on the interest. So that makes a lot of sense. In terms of your capital growth asset classes, so you think equity. Now, I think, you know, there's still some opportunities in SA. But you said it, you know, we're struggling with a lot of structural issues. We haven't seen reforms. We entered this in a recession. We're probably going to face a depression. You know, there's other countries around the world that will recover much faster. Companies will benefit as a result. And you can pick them up at similar valuations. So I think your growth part of your portfolio should be globally. And then lastly, gold, even at these levels, you know, we're heading for a decade of potentially slower economic growth, some inflation, not immediately, but in the next 3 years or so, given all the liquidity that's going around. But more importantly, this time around, everybody that's tired and pointing fingers towards China wants to onshore some of their manufacturing base, and that will be inflationary all around the world. So while central banks are manipulating the yield curve to keep rates very low, especially in the West, to almost help him to fund all this excessive debt, you know, that's paving the way for gold to remain very attractive. So I think adding to a diversified portfolio some gold, it makes sense at this point in time, and even with gold at current levels.
Speaking of the depressionary environment we find ourselves in, Ness, and horrendous trading update from Pick and Pay, HEPS down more than 50%, and I think really puts into context just how good ShopRite's results were yesterday. Clearly, there is some market share erosion here for Pick and Pay ceding ground to ShopRite. The market's not growing, so that can be the only conclusion that I draw from this.
Yeah, you know, Mike, if you look at the previous updates on Pick and Pay as well, it was also, you know, a big disappointment to markets. And I think, you know, it's at times like these that you see who the the quality operators are. And, you know, ShopRite yesterday with their, I think the sales growth was 6.5% or 7%. And you compare it to Pick n Pay's numbers and you think to yourself, you know, who would you rather hold in the next 12 to 18 months to 2 years? It's a very tough environment for retailers. We know that, especially the grocery retailers who are selling very low margin essential items and don't have the benefit of selling the higher margin, you know, alcohol, tobacco products, that sort of thing. They're not really going to get, you know, an opportunity to sell that in the near term. And they need to relook at where they can, you know, squeeze out potential profits. ShopRite's clearly done that much better, you know, in the last 6 months than what Pick n Pay has done. And, you know, probably will continue to do so. We'll just have to wait and see.